In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I imagine it was a long, quiet walk from Olivet to the upper room, quiet enough to hear the whisper of leaves brushed by wind, quiet enough to hear your own breathing, your own heartbeat, quiet enough to hear the crumple of earth under each footfall. That's how I imagine it, at least, because I can't imagine any of the 11 being in a mood to talk. And I imagine the silence was deafening by the time they got to that upper room with the tabletop, now bare and empty, and the bleached outline of the human figure where he always sat, bleached out the same way the square of wall is when you unhook that old picture frame that hung there for too long. This is the same room, after all, where just a few weeks ago the 12 sat for supper, and now it seats 120, cramped and crowded, and it still feels so empty. It's empty because all the eyes are fixed on that empty chair and the empty outline of the man who no longer sits there, and the room is deafened to silence until Peter. Of course, it's always Peter. Peter stands up to break the silence. But I hear sadness in Peter's voice, for he was numbered among us and was allotted his share in this ministry. I hear deep sadness in Peter's voice. They shared three of the most memorable years, after all, that anyone could share with anyone else, and now he was dead, violently dead. They shared an incredible journey, and he had been as close to them as to a blood brother. But it's Peter standing there who reminds them of the other empty place at the table, that place that appears to them now bleached out by light, by the light of his presence. It's Peter who fixes their eyes on that other empty place, and it's Peter who reminds them, for the one man who is dead, this other one was dead, and that they are witnesses to this other man's resurrection, to the fact that they are all now witnesses to the death of death. And so they go about the business of being disciples again. And that business is always and everywhere the same. It is the business of prayer. You, Lord, know the hearts of all. Show us whom you have chosen. They pray as if spontaneously, but in near perfect unison. They are praying that the circle may yet again be unbroken. And the Lord does indeed show them how the circle will yet again be unbroken. His name is Matthias. It's his lot that is cast, and the 120 jump up to embrace him as if they've been released from the memory of betrayal, and a wild little rumpus of joy erupts as he makes his way, tries to weave in out through this crowd, hugging him and kissing him to take his seat in that empty chair. And once he gets there, we will promptly never hear his name ever mentioned again. Which makes me wonder, is his name Matthias, or is it Mathetes? I wonder if the Apostle Matthias promptly leaves the record of history because he is standing in for the Mathetes, for all the disciples who will come after him. I wonder if we have seen Matthias and he is us. This upper room is our upper room after all, and Peter has once again reminded us that we are witnesses to the resurrection of the Son of God, which gives us a seat at the table of his fellowship. And by God, the circle is unbroken yet again. But Peter, always being Peter, has sat back down. And a quiet hush once again fills the room, except this time it is not the silence of emptiness. This quietness is full, filled full with the peace that is not only the absence of violence, but the presence of life and love, the presence that fills our heart with a wild rumpus of abiding joy. This quiet hush is filled with a new expectation. This is literally a pregnant pause. And if we listen close enough, we can hear the whisper of a rushing wind just outside the closed door. It softly whistles like a little bird along the edges of the threshold just outside this upper room. A brooding spirit is whispering at the doorstep. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.